Come back to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Look at this last couple of days. I preached on this some years ago, and I enjoyed looking at it. It just caught my attention. The title of the message is Love Sick. Love Sick. You ever been there? You ever been love sick? That's what stood out to me when I was reading this. And I tell you what, this is a sickness that I would wish upon every one of us. That we'd all be lovesick for our Lord. Just fall in love with Him. You know, our love to one another is in direct proportion to our love to Him. It's in direct proportion in our love to the Lord Jesus Christ, the way we love each other. Let's look at this morning. He said, now notice here, he says, I am the great, the only I am. God Almighty. The sovereign God, the holy God of heaven and earth is the Rose of Sharon. He said, I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. Sharon was a very fruitful place in the Scriptures. It's where David fed his cattle in 1 Chronicles 27. It is mentioned as a place of excellence in Isaiah 35 and as a place of flocks in Isaiah 65. And so here our Lord says that He's the Rose of Sharon. Here He compares Himself to a rose. He's like a rose for His sweet fragrance of grace. It pours, the Scripture says, from His lips to His beloved. He's likened to a rose in that He's altogether lovely. Isn't a rose? You see a rose, it's altogether lovely, isn't it? Altogether. And He also calls Himself here the Lily of the Valley. A lily is a beautiful white flower that grows in the valleys. That's where it grows. It grows in the valleys. Christ is pure and holy. He knew no sin. And whatever valley we find ourselves in, there He is. He's in that same valley. He's there with us. And note what Christ compares His church to in verse 2. As the lily among thorns, so is my beloved, or so is my love among the daughters. The Scriptures tell us this. As He is, so are we in this world. Is He a lily? He says, so are you. So are you. We are as the lily, pure and holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are as pure and holy as He is. Now we are in Him. The church's union and conformity and oneness to Christ is her beauty. That's her beauty. And notice something else here. When He compares her to the daughters of this world, they appear as thorns. They stick out as prickly thorns. That's what they are. And she as a pure white lily. And these thorns are good for nothing but to be burned. Everything outside of Christ shall be burned. But her, the one He's speaking of here, He says, she's a lily among the thorns. You know, the Scripture says this in Hebrews 11, of whom the world is not worthy. The world is not worthy of the presence of His bride. That's what it says in Hebrews 11, talking about those who died in the faith, of whom the world is not worthy. And then He says here in verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. Now the church compares Christ to an apple tree. And rightly so, for He's good for food and sweet to the taste. Sweet to the taste of a sinner. And the apple tree stands out among all the trees of the wood for its fruit. You ever taste an apple? You can go out in the woods and you can find an apple tree out there and pick that fruit. Taste it so sweet. So sweet. Sweet.
One writer said this, I like this. Other trees may look statelier, more majestic. They may look that way for their height, but you can starve to death under a big oak tree. But you're not going to starve under an apple tree. You won't starve to death under an apple tree. But you can starve to death under a big old stately looking oak, but not under that little apple tree. There are none that compares to the Lord Jesus Christ. Among all the sons of men, it says in Psalm 45, thou art fairer than the sons of men, or the children of men. Then she says here, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Great delight. I tell you this, that I think it's a great delight to be here under the sound of the gospel. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Believers find great delight in sitting at the feet of Christ. That's where we find our delight at, with him. With him. Protected by his power. Enjoying his love and grace and communion with him in the cool of his shade. We find great delight. The curse of the law, the threatenings of Satan cannot come under this shadow. It can't touch us. Listen. Only those who find their delight here, delight in Christ, can sit down here. No one else is going to sit down here. Only those who find him to be their all in all. And I can assure you this, this shadow that we sit down under and find great delight will never, never flee away. It'll never flee away. You know why? Because the sun who casts the shadow never changes. You see the shadow going, you see the sun going over the sky, and the shadow will be here, then it'll be here, then it'll be here, because the sun keeps moving. But the Son of God never changes. That shadow never moves. And we can always sit down under his shadow with great delight. Great delight. And his fruit, it says, was sweet to my taste. Those who have tasted Christ find him to be gracious. That's what Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I've tasted that. You've tasted that. The Lord's gracious, isn't he? He's gracious. And he brought me to the banqueting house. And his banner over me was love. Note the generosity here of the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes her from the shadow of the apple tree to the banqueting house, or the house of wine. So I'm speaking of the house of wine. He gives her of the fruit of the tree. And then he gives her of the fruit of the vine. Takes her to the banqueting house. And no one comes here except the special ones. No one is brought to this place except that one is special to him. To him, it says in the scriptures, to him that hath shall more be given. She has the apple tree, she has the fruit of it, now she has the wine of it. But also here, he takes his church from the shadows and types of the gospel to the banqueting house and reveals himself. That's what's happening this morning. The gospel being preached, we heard it in the Bible class, and now we read it, we're in the banqueting house. We are in the banqueting house. And note, listen, she says, he brought me. He brought me. He brought me. It does not say he invited me to the banqueting house. He brought me to the banqueting house. That's what he did. By his Spirit, by his Word, by his power, he brought me into his church. That's how you... Listen, the Scripture says, of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus. That's how you wind up in Christ. God put you there. God brought you into him. It's like he brought Noah into the ark. He didn't invite no one to the ark. He brought him into the ark. And he brought us into his church where his presence is and where his gospel is preached and where the ordinances are served and where we eat his flesh and we drink his blood by faith. He brought us to the banqueting house. Took us out of sin. Took us out of the gutter of human depravity and brought us to the banqueting house. And his banner over me There's a banner that flies over His church. You know what that banner says? Love. His banner over me is love. And it never changes. It never changes. He did not slip us into the banqueting house. No. Listen, He made an open display of His church. He put a banner over her that reads, love. I mean, God's love. We're not talking about some kind of human love here. We're talking about God's love. The love that passes all understanding flies over her head. Love. And He lets everyone know who He loves. You're not embarrassed of someone you love, are you? You're not embarrassed of someone that you love. You want everyone to know, this is the one I love. This is mine. This is my bride. You want everyone to know the one you love. And this is what Christ uses to conquer His people. Here's what He uses. Love. Scripture says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's His love that conquers us. Not threatenings. You know, you don't want a marriage where the husband is threatening the wife. You want one of love. You want a marriage where there is love. And I tell you this, where there is love, it's not hard to serve, is it? It is not hard for a wife who loves her husband to serve. It's hard for a rebel to do that, but not one who loves. Not one who loves. And she says here in verse 5, stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. For I am sick of love. I'm lovesick. That's what she's saying. Give me, and here's what she's saying, and this is what we want. Give me more of the fruit that I've tasted. Give me more of that grace that I have tasted. The believer wants more of His grace and His mercy and His love. Give us more of this. Enable us to grow in grace and the knowledge and love of Christ. I would to God that happened to every one of us. Every one of us. This ought to be our state. This ought to be our continual state before Him. Lovesick. Just yearning after Him. Should be. Overcome with love. Overpowered by it. Overpowered by it. Now, listen here in verse 6. His left hand, well, let me see here. It seems here in this next verse, well, in this verse I just read, it seems that they are apart at this point. It seems that they're apart. And she is lovesick and longs for His return. And she says here in verse 6, His left hand is under my head, and His right hand doth embrace me. She thought He had withdrawn. While all the time, listen, all this time He was embracing her. Just like Hosea and Gomer. She thought her lover gave her that corn and her wine, but it was all the time it was Hosea. Gomer thought that was all the time, but it was Hosea. And all the time He's embracing her. His left hand is under her head, gently holding it, while His right hand embraces her close to His heart. All the time. This is spiritual. What are you talking about here? Things that are spiritual. He never lets us go. He's always, His left hand is always under our head, and He's always, His right hand is embracing us to His heart. Always. He never lets her go. Though she may not perceive His touch at all times, it's there. It's always there. He always supports His people under the most severe trials. His left hand is under our head, and His right hand doth embrace us all the time. Now she says here in verse 7, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor wake my love till He please. She charges those about her to not disturb her love. She is in awe of Him. She is in awe of Him. As she looks upon Him, it's like, can't believe he's mine. I can't believe he's mine. It's as if he is saying, don't wake him up. Just let him lie here in my arms and let me look at him. Don't wake him up. Just let me look at him. Here's her feelings. Here's her feelings as she looks at him as he's asleep. As she just stands there and looks for him. Her feelings is this. I way outmarried myself. That's her feelings. And note also what she says here. Till he please. Her desire is to please her husband. Not herself. Not her children. But her husband. She says, don't wake him up. Don't wake him up. Till he please. And he says in verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. His sheep hear his voice, and a stranger says they will not follow. She knows the voice of the bridegroom before she even sees him. She knows his voice. It's the voice, she said, of my beloved. Although we cannot see him now, yet we hear his voice in the preaching of the gospel, and we know it when we hear it. We know it when we hear his voice. She said, behold, he cometh. The Old Testament says someone's coming. The gospel says he's coming. The epistles say he's coming again. And he is, my friend, listen, he is coming. He's on his way. He's coming. And he's coming triumphantly. He's coming cheerfully. And he's coming to get his bride. He's coming to get her. And listen, leaping upon the mountains. Leaping. No difficulty too strong for my beloved. Is there anything too strong for God? With God, he said, all things are possible. Nothing too strong. There was the curse of the law that you and I could not handle. The death of the cross. These mountains stood between him and his beloved. But listen, they proved to be no obstacle at all, did they? He conquered all of them. Leaping upon the mountains. And note the speed and ease in which he comes to her. Skipping upon the mountain. Nothing slows him down in coming to his love. He's coming to her. He's going to have her. He's going to get her. And he's skipping upon the mountains. Not dreading what he's got to go through to get her. Not dreading the cross. The skipping, it says, upon the mountain. Surely he comes quickly. And he that shall come. And it will not tarry. He will not tarry. He is never behind his appointed time. Our Lord is never behind the time of his appointments. Ever. Now listen, verse 9. My beloved is like a roe. Or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. She compares Christ now to a roe or a young hart. Not some brutish animal that is mean and cruel, but one that's swift and gentle. That's what she compares him to. And she says, behold, he standeth behind our wall. In the Old Testament, there was a wall of partition. There was a veil. There was a veil that kept a lot of people out. Christ stood behind that wall of shadows and types. And those believers saw him. They saw him as through the lattice. He said this, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And Christ looks through each window of time. And he shows himself to his church. Through all generations. And although we still only know in part and preach in part, yet someday we're going to know even as we are known. We're not going to look through the lattice no more. Not going to be a wall no more. We're going to see him face to face. We're going to look him in the face. And she says in verse 10 there, my beloved spake and said unto me, Here's what he said to me. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away. She hears his tender voice saying, rise up, my love, my fair one. What love, and compassion our Lord has to his church throughout all ages. The world hates her, but he loves her. And you know what? That's the love, that's the only love that really matters. It's his love to me. His love. Because I tell you this, if he loves me, he's going to have me. He's going to have me. And he says to her, come away. Come away. Every day, we are to come away from that which would keep us from Christ. Every day we ought to come away in meditation, prayer, and the study of His Word. Every day He says, come away. Come away. It says in Colossians 2, set your affection, or 3, set your affection on things above, where Christ sits at God's right hand. Not on the things of this earth. Set your affection there. Set it there. Now He says, come away, for lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and it's gone. The harsh, cold deadness of false religion and self-righteousness is past. It's past. And the time for serving ourselves is past. He says, come away. And this could be said. It could also be said that the time of heartache in a particular trial is past. It's past. It's time to rejoice. He says, time to lift up the voice. God would not always have His children cry. He'll not always have them cry. But to rejoice, He says here, the rain is gone. The rain is gone. And listen, and the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Where it looked like nothing would bloom again, it does. The flowers appear right where God planted them, on the earth. And nothing will make you appreciate the beauty of spring, this coming spring. Nothing will make you appreciate it like a hard winter. Like a cold, hard winter. I look forward to spring, don't you? I look forward to the flowers coming again. I look forward to it. But nothing will make you appreciate that like a hard winter. And he says here, the time of the singing of birds has come. There's a time to weep. There is a time to laugh. There's a time to sing and a time to dance. And no matter how hard the winter is, no matter how hard the trial is, we will hear the voice of singing, he says again. The birds will sing again. Oh, he said, the time of the singing of the birds has come. And the voice of the turtle, that is the turtle dove, is heard in our land. The turtle dove was a seasonal bird. And listen, and she knew her time. She knew her time and her place. She knew her time to sing. And we should know our time to sing. And it's now. Now is our time to sing. And he said, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now he speaks of the nearness of summer. And the smell of fruit is in the air. The smell, you know, the spring gives off a good smell. And then you have the summertime, and you have the smell of fruit in the air. Listen. It's good to look for flowers in the springtime. They're pretty, aren't they? They're pretty. And it's good to hear the birds sing. But what we need is fruit. What we need is fruit. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what we need. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, meekness. This is what's needed. This is what's needed. They give a good smell. They give a good smell. You know, people, they get up and take a shower and get dressed, and they put on perfume. But if they come in with a bad attitude, you can't cover that up. They don't make a perfume that covers that up. They just don't do it. But love, joy, peace, kindness, meekness, it gives off a good smell. A good smell. Arise, he said, my love, my fair one, and come away. Take advantage of the season. Take advantage of this right now. Take advantage of it. Spend much time with Christ. Come apart from the world. That's what it's saying. Come away. Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet, he said, listen, sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. He now calls her his dove. What endearing names our Lord gives to his church. What endearing names. He calls her his dove for her gracious spirit and loveliness that he's put upon her. That's why he calls her that. And she is said here to be in the clefts of the rock and in the secret places of the stairs. Now we know this. We know that she is in the rock, Christ Jesus. We know that. For God put her there before the world began. And into the secret places of the stairs. This place is only known by her and him. Their special place. And he comes to her. And he calls her to himself. And he says, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. He tells his church here, listen, here's what he's telling us, to pray. To pray. To call upon him. The Scripture says this, come boldly to the throne of grace and cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We have a great high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. And when we call upon his name, when a child of God, when his church calls upon his name, listen, to him it is a sweet voice. It is a sweet, I tell you what, someone you love, when they call you, that's a sweet voice, isn't it? And he said, let me hear thy voice, for it is sweet. Well, that's what he hears when his children call upon him. He hears a sweet voice. And he says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes, mortify the deeds of the flesh, those that are still in us, those sins that would destroy the tender fruit of the vines. Even, now listen, even the so-called little sins. There is no little sins, but we call them little sins. If they are left unchecked, those little foxes, if they are left unchecked, they do great damage. They do great damage. Verse 16 says, my beloved is mine, and I his. He feedeth among the lilies. He is her comfort at all times. He is our comfort in times of trouble. He is mine and I am his. And she knows where he is. You know where he is? If you want to find him, I can tell you where he is. Among the lilies. Among his people. He's always among his people. If you want to find Christ, you want to hear from him, go where his people are. Be among his people. And then last of all, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a rose or a young heart upon the mountains of Bether, mountains of division. She knows that the shadows and the types and ceremonies are all going to flee away. They're all going to go. And the real one is going to come. And she knows that he's coming and all will be well when he comes. And her desire is that he would come quickly. Quickly, like a roe or a young hart skipping on the tops of the mountain. And one day, he will come. And he will take her. And she won't be back. She she will not be back. And when Vicki and I first started dating, we dated a year before we were married. I would go up on Saturday evenings, because I worked evening shifts, she worked day shifts. I'd go up on Saturday evening, we'd have a dinner and a movie every weekend, and Sunday, and then we'd not see each other again till the next weekend, and I would take her out, and I'd bring her back home, and I'd go home, and then do the same thing. That went on for a year. Then one day, I came up and got her, and I didn't take her back. I didn't take her back home. I took her to our home. And that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. I'm going to come one day. I'm going to come. And we're going to take you away. And you're not coming back. We're going to our home. His and ours. Okay, Mike.